In a logo, a fishing bobber drops into a pool of blue water, which reflects a crescent moon. Our view soars up into the sky, where a boy sits on the moon's edge, holding a fishing pole. Amid billowing clouds, we float past giant block letters. DreamWorks, SKG. In another logo, a brilliant sunburst brightens a cloud-filled horizon above rippling water. The view is reflected in the lens of a raised golden spyglass that a man focuses away from us. A square graphic frames the man and rippling waves against a black background. Spyglass Entertainment. DreamWorks Pictures and Spyglass Entertainment present A Pariah Production. Over an empty metropolitan street, a title appears, Ghost Town. Cars and people materialize, transforming the street from deserted to bustling.
Hello? Is anybody there? Oh, hey, honey, what's up? Slow down. Who are you talking about? No, I don't know. Sweetheart, I don't have a clue what you... An apartment?
On the sidewalk, a brown-haired man in a tux grimaces.
No, of course I'm not looking at an apartment. Why would I be looking at an apartment? Oh, wait a sec. Wait, I know what this is. Oldest trick in the book. Yeah, did a realtor call you? Yeah. Yeah, realtor calls the wife, says, oh, yeah, I spoke to the husband. I'm looking at a... My card? My business card? I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know why he has my business card. Maybe he or she then. Yeah. Okay, surprise ruined. No, it's all right. It's going to be for our anniversary, but it's just a little one bedroom in the West Village, but you're going to love it. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, the car never picked me up for this thing at the Waldorf. I got to go. I'll see you at home tonight, okay, honey? I love you too. It's okay. Big kiss. All right, then. Bye-bye.
The brown-haired man smiles, then makes another call. His expression becomes annoyed as he looks from side to side. The brown-haired man lifts the phone to his ear.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you a real estate broker or professional fucking idiot?
In an apartment, a man struggles to carry an AC unit.
I really think we ought to let the super do that.
No, I got it. Just move that stuff.
No, I did not say my wife needs to see the apartment. I said Amber needs to see the apartment. Amber sound like the wife of a man my age to you?
In the apartment.
Oh, careful with my table.
No, I'm picking it up right now. Okay, just get the cord for me, huh?
Okay, all right. I got it, baby. What do you want me to do?
Just keep it out of my way.
In a crosswalk.
Well, it's not exactly a love nest if my wife's there picking out the goddamn curtains, is it?
The couple puts the AC unit in a window.
Ready?
The brown-haired man walks below.
No, I'm telling you right now, stop talking. Because I'm thinking. No, I'm thinking. I don't... You know what? Just kill it. No, kill it. Kill the whole thing.
Good.
See? DIY. Do it yourself.
The AC unit falls through the window. A slow-motion view shows the unit plummeting toward the street.
Call me over the weekend, leave a message on the home machine saying the seller's had a change of heart and that the whole thing's...
Oh, my God!
The brown-haired man jumps back into the street, and the unit crashes in front of him.
Oh! Wow! You are not going to believe what almost just happened.
A bus hits him out of view. His jacket floats to the ground and two men approach.
911!
Whoa! Oh my God, is he dead?
He ain't happy.
Several pedestrians run toward the accident.
I'm looking through you.
The brown-haired man walks backwards with a bewildered expression. A police officer runs through his body, then sneezes. A woman walks through him from the other direction.
Oh, you cannot be serious!
Looking anguished, he turns toward the accident.
Oh, not now.
With a white flash, our view changes to a dental office. Glimpses show a person's gloved hands handling equipment. The person moves an overhead dental operatory light. Filling a syringe with medication, the person squirts out the excess. The dental worker bends the end of a suction device, then dips a tooth polisher into a small container of polish. They lift the polisher. Beside a table of dental impression trays, the person uses a spatula to fill one tray with plaster paste. The worker holds a plaster cast, hardened in the shape of someone's teeth. Placing it against a spinning sander, they remove excess plaster from the cast. As the dental worker opens a sterilizer, steam billows out. The gloved person removes a tray full of dental cleaning tools. A close moving view shows a plastic-covered tray full of tools. From the tray, the person lifts a set of curved dental forceps. They lift a dental scaler, then a drill. An X-ray view box displays several images of someone's teeth. A magnifying glass scans over the X-rays. A closer view shows a full mouth dental X-ray. Now, an unsmiling, round-faced dentist wears a clear plastic face shield as he works.
Okay, go ahead and spit.
A brunette spits and the dentist removes his face shield.
So anyway, the very first scene just takes your breath away.
You have to remind yourself that you're in the theater watching a play. My 5-year-old, Alex, just adored it. He wanted his father to see it with us.
The dentist shoves cotton balls into the patient's cheek. He looks irritated.
I think he really learned the cotton.
Later, he sits alone.
Dr. Pincus, hi. I'm going to need the panoramic X-ray machine for most of the morning tomorrow, so if that fits in with your appointments.
Fine. I've cleared my schedule for tomorrow.
Really? Oh, well. Well, I hear it's supposed to be a lovely day.
The curly-haired dentist smiles. Pincus looks at him.
And?
He stops smiling.
Well, no, I just thought that maybe you were taking the day off to go and,
Annoyed, Pincus turns back to his file.
Right. Well, sorry to bother you. We brought some cake. Mrs. Prashar and I just had our baby, so...
Prashar smiles. Pincus shrugs.
Yeah, it's a girl, and, we're having a little cake, and I brought some pictures, so...
Oh, be delightful.
Pincus forces a polite look.
Start without me.
Prashar's smile falters.
Great. So...
He leaves. Later, Pincus leaves the exam room and creeps down the hallway, stopping at a wall by the reception desk.
She's so cute. Yeah, she really is. How long was the labor?
10 hours.
10 hours?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that seems like a really long time.
Pincus sneaks past the desk.
It's not?
Not really.
See, that's like too long.
Oh, it's so worth it.
Prashar turns to grab a drink and spots Pincus leaving. He wears a disappointed expression. A close view shows a plaque reading Cosmetic, Reconstructive, and General Dentistry with Bertram Pincus, DDS, underneath. Pincus leaves the building and walks down the sidewalk. A volunteer holds out a pamphlet.
Stop global warming?
Pincus ignores the volunteer, hurrying past him to the building next door. He sneezes, then walks inside. A delivery man walks past Pincus and sneezes in the same spot. In the building lobby, a doorman talks to a woman.
Good evening, doctor.
Pincus strides past and goes to an elevator. An attractive woman enters the lobby with a large package.
Hey, can you hold an elevator, please?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
He presses the door close button.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, hold, hey.
The elevator doors close before she enters. Entering an apartment, Pincus turns on a light and hangs up his coat. In his bedroom, a set of pajamas lies neatly on his bed. Beside them, a pair of slippers sits on a cloth. A close view shows a crossword puzzle and 3 sharpened pencils resting on a table. In the kitchen, Pincus wears the pajamas and sits by the counter. He eyes 3 large bottles of milky white liquid next to him. A bottle's label reads, "Warning, laxative agent." Pincus turns to the counter with a sigh. Resting his hands on either side of a glass, he taps on a placemat. With a resigned expression, the dentist grabs one of the bottles. Pincus screws off the cap and smells the liquid inside.
Oh!
He looks disgusted. He pours the laxative into the glass. Chunks come out along with the liquid. Pincus fills the glass and screws the cap back on the bottle, placing it back in line with the other 2. He picks up the glass with an anxious expression. Pincus drinks the laxative in continuous gulps. Eyes squeezed shut, he sets down the empty glass and gags. Pincus pants as he looks at the remaining bottles of liquid.
Good, still some more.
Now, Pincus sits in a leather armchair. He drums his fingers on the armrest. Stopping, he tilts his head curiously, then shakes his head. Pincus continues drumming his fingers, but stops again. He stands quickly and runs into a bathroom. In a hospital, Pincus stands at a nurse's station.
Charles, come back up yet?
There.
I appreciate it.
Spell it.
P-I-N-C-U-S.
Date of birth?
Why?
What day were you born?
No, I understood the question. Why do you need to know that?
Let's leave it blank. Weight?
Last night or this morning?
You pick.
182 pounds.
Number of alcoholic beverages consumed per week?
Why do you need to know that?
Well, they want to know.
Well, I'm sure they want to know a lot of things, but I don't want my intimate details auctioned off to the highest bidder, willy-nilly.
I'll put zero. Marital status?
Pass.
Profession?
Irrelevant.
Food allergies?
I'm not going to be eating here.
Are you allergic to sticking plaster?
What a ludicrous question. I'm not answering any more of these, really.
Do you smoke?
Stop it.
Do you wear dentures?
Madam, listen.
When was the last time you ate?
Ah, a pertinent question, at last. Yesterday lunchtime. Thanks for asking. I had a tuna sandwich. Toast was soggy, but...
Did you drink the laxative solution?
Yes.
Did it work?
It was as advertised.
Did you evacuate your bowels?
I drank copious amounts of drain cleaning fluid. What followed was fait accompli.
Sir, what I'm asking is if you were...
I shat. Okay? Good. It, again and again, it was like a terrorist attack down there in the darkness and the chaos, the running and the screaming, okay?
Fine with me.
Good. Gross invasion of my privacy, this.
Wait till they get you in the back.
Later, Pincus gets wheeled on a gurney.
Good morning, Dr. Pincus.
Hi.
Don't anticipate any difficulties today. We'll have you up and on your feet in no time. Quick question. I noticed you requested a general anesthetic. That's not really typical for this type of procedure. It's not necessary.
Sorry. I have no intention of being around when they go where they're going. When does the surgeon arrive?
I'm the surgeon.
Really?
Yeah.
Why have you got that tan?
Thanks for noticing. I got a spray tan on my way to work today.
It's natural.
Yes, it's better. It's better for you. It's moisturizing and it doesn't cause UV damage. Yeah. So it has an odd smell. I can't quite place it. I don't know if...
No, I don't want to smell your fake tan.
What? It's like dirt, but like a garden dirt, like a good dirt, not like a garbage dirt.
You gonna go darker?
I think I am. I think I'd like to go darker. It's really gonna make my eyes pop.
You could get your teeth whitened like I did.
The nurse smiles.
Oh, yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah, I don't like having trays in my mouth, and my teeth are small.
Sorry, you babbling idiots. Can we talk about my bowels? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Looks like the sodium thiopental is really kicking in, huh? Makes people say crazy things.
I haven't given it to him yet. Going in now.
How old are you? Sorry, are you here on a school field trip?
The young man smirks.
Not a real people person, are you, Dr. Pincus?
Not really. Given the choice between a few people and loads of people, I choose my cat. She hunts dwarves. She takes them up the tree. They're still alive. You can see their little legs going. Sounds like Nora Jones when she plays the piano.
A fast-motion view of New York City shows sunset and sunrise. At the hospital, a nurse pushes Pincus in a wheelchair.
Well, you must be excited to get home and see your cat.
What cat?
I thought yesterday you said you had a cat.
I despise cats. What sort of men waste their affection on a cat and a pathetic?
I had a cat once when I was a little girl. My father, right before he died, he took me to the shelter and said, Deborah, take a look at all these...
What a wonderful man he must have been. Now, listen, all those people in my room last night, I thought I was dreaming at first, but I wasn't. Who were they?
I don't know anything about that. Right. There you go, clean bill of health.
Pincus walks into an elevator.
Come back soon.
He glares at Deborah.
What a terrible thing to say in a hospital.
At the outpatient exit, three nurses smoke. Pincus passes, waving smoke away from his face. They ignore him, and he talks to a woman wearing an old-fashioned nurse's uniform. The young nurse wears a forlorn look.
Nice. Fine example for healthcare workers. Still, I suppose smoking serves a purpose. Thins the herd, weeds out the stupid.
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, but I was having a go at them, not you. Oh, good. I picked one that should be in a straitjacket. My mistake.
She reaches for Pincus. He recoils and walks away. Gaping, the nurse follows him down the street. Pincus glances at her.
Show it some attention, it follows you home. Unbelievable.
In a crosswalk, he nearly collides with an elderly couple.
Sorry.
He continues on. The couple shares a shocked gaze and the young nurse approaches.
Did he see you too?
The elderly couple joins the nurse, following Pincus down the sidewalk. He passes a woman in a tennis outfit. The tennis player joins the group following Pincus. He walks faster and begins crossing a street. A cab stops just short of hitting him.
Hey, why don't you open your eyes?
Pincus walks past a blue-eyed man who stares at him and joins the group. Now he walks on a sidewalk across the street from the group. The blue-eyed man crosses toward him.
Hey!
A street cleaner drives.
Hey, mister!
Pincus turns.
Please, just hold up.
idiot.
Great.
Get out of the road.
Listen, I just need 2 minutes.
Look out! Oh!
The street cleaner drives through the blue-eyed man, then sneezes.
Have you timed?
Pincus looks baffled.
You can see me, huh? And you're not like us. I know you're not, because back there that cab almost hit you. And he honked at you, and he yelled at you.
I don't feel well.
Pincus rubs his forehead and leaves as the group approaches.
Hey!
Pincus trots through a park. He glances over his shoulder. He approaches a bench where a police officer sits near 3 construction workers.
Oh, officer, there's a load of weirdos. I don't know why they're here. I'm a dentist.
Hey, man, you can see me.
Oh, good.
Hey, come back here. I want to talk to you. Hey, don't be scared. I'm a cop.
He can see us?
Oh, that guy?
Pincus runs away. He goes through a tunnel under a bridge. As Pincus turns out of view, the group runs through the tunnel, now larger than before. They jog by a violinist. A traveling view reveals Pincus pressing his back against a wall at the opening of the bridge. He watches the group turn left at a fork in the footpath. Pincus follows a distance behind, then goes down the right fork in the path. The brown-haired man steps into view, watching the dentist sneak off as the group leaves to the left. Still in his tuxedo, he wears a curious look. At the hospital.
From the moment I left the hospital.
What kind of side effects?
Hallucinations.
Visual or oral?
Both. And really vivid, really realistic, weird. I mean, that's not normal.
Well, and, you know, what's normal, you know, really?
Well, not having hallucinations, I'd have thought. Did anything unusual happen during my procedure? Why did you keep interrupting me?
No, well...
Did anything unusual happen?
You kind of interrupted me a little bit.
Just answered. Did anything unusual happen?
Where?
What do you mean, where? That's not a proper response. Yes or no? Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
Yeah. Right. No.
You said yes first.
No. It's what I ended with. Yes, no means no.
Pincus looks stunned.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure? And if so...
Can you hold on a second?
She picks a phone up from the desk and dials.
Yeah, it's me. Can you stop what you're doing and come down here right away? What's that thing that we talked about? Yeah, well, you told me to call you if it came back, and it came back, so...
What was that? What's the thing you told someone? The thing came back.
Oh, I have a rash on my back. It came back, so I had to call my doctor.
She scratches her back.
You... Miss?
Yes.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
What the... What?
Can I...
Follow you?
Yes.
To
my office.
And then you'll tell me?
Pincus follows the surgeon into a narrow, cramped room. She shuts the door. They stand close, facing each other. He looks at her expectantly.
Did anything unusual... What?
An imposing man swiftly enters with a file.
Jesus Christ! Sorry, I wasn't...
We have a meeting in a couple minutes, so just have to be quick.
Pincus looks from the imposing man to the surgeon.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
The imposing man whispers in her ear.
Can you please define unusual?
Out of the ordinary, bizarre, unanticipated.
The surgeon and the imposing man look through the documents in the file.
No, this went well. It was good. Okay, normal. Yes, good. Well, the cessation, but after that...
Cessation of what?
Dr. Pincus, I don't need to tell you that every medical procedure doesn't follow the same path. Everyone is different. There are subtle variations in even the simplest surgery.
What would a subtle variation be in my case, for example?
Well, one doesn't wish to use jargon.
No.
But, you know, technically...
Yeah.
Medically speaking.
The imposing man leans toward the surgeon and whispers in her ear. She looks at Pincus.
You died.
I died?
A little bit.
For how long?
7 minutes.
A bit less.
I died for 7 minutes.
A bit less.
Approximately.
That's really the only thing that I can think of that was.
How did I die?
For the record, we did not recommend that you use the general anesthesia. When you use anesthesia, there is a chance, although it is small, of a biochemical anomaly.
Where's the anesthesiologist? I want to see him now.
Oh, he does not work here anymore. You'll be happy to know that at St. Victor's, we have a very strict 3 strikes policy.
She smiles, and his jaw drops.
My anesthesiologist had 2 strikes.
Okay, let's all calm down. Let's just not overdramatize the situation.
Why is he calming down?
The imposing man breathes deeply.
Everybody dies.
Pincus looks baffled.
Yeah, but usually at the end of their life, and just the once, and forever.
Everybody's different.
And you weren't even going to tell me.
Oh, no, we did tell you. We told you that night we gave you the full report.
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, it says here that you gurgled to me before you rolled your eyes back in your head a little bit.
Pincus glares at the surgeon.
Have you any idea how much I'm going to sue you for?
Nothing, I'm afraid.
Oh, he's perked up. Go on.
You signed a general release and a quitclaim form, relieving your surgeon, your anesthesiologist, St. Victor's Hospital, and cooperative institutional health partners from any liability related to your anesthetic-induced cessation of heart function.
I definitely did not.
Is this your signature at the bottom?
When did I sign that?
Right after you passed the post-operative responsiveness test legally mandated by the state of New York.
Obviously, I didn't know what I was doing.
You knew enough to sign your name.
I dotted the I with a little love heart.
You were happy to be alive, right? Now, about these hallucinations, what are you seeing?
People.
On a sidewalk, Pincus sneaks out from behind a tree. He looks both ways and crosses the street, jogging on the damp pavement. Pincus reaches the other side and approaches his apartment building. The brown-haired man in the tuxedo steps in front of him. Glancing over his shoulder, Pincus fails to notice the man and walks through him.
Hey, you got a sec?
The brown-haired man smiles at Pincus.
Never get used to that. You're the guy, huh?
No, I'm not the guy. It's another guy. Go away.
Real quick, gotta hit you up for a favor.
The attractive woman hails a cab.
No, he's still there. Unbelievable. Ah, good.
Pincus hurries into the cab.
Wait a minute. Wait, what?
Joy.
The brown-haired man sits by
him. Where to, buddy?
Oh, don't do that.
You're a busy little guy. Let me get right to the point. That woman whose cab you just snaked, that's my wife. My widow. She got a very serious problem. I need your help to fix it.
His wife drops a package in the rain.
Where do you want to go, pal?
Tell him 54th and Madison.
I don't want to go to 54th and Madison.
Okay, that narrows it down.
I don't want a sapphire martini up with olives.
Okay, that narrows it down.
In a bar.
Yeah, you're making kind of a fool out of yourself. You can't talk to me when somebody's standing.
Campari and soda.
Campari soda.
No. Pim's cup.
Pim's cup.
Pim's cup? Pim's? Would you get...
Just get a real drink.
Okay, sorry. Can I have the first thing I said?
Sapphire martini up with olives.
Pincus smiles wryly. The bartender walks away.
Shut up. Well, you need to adjust, right? No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You need a little time to adjust. I get it. I haven't done Jack in 14 months. I've been here. Believe me.
I died today.
The bartender keeps a wary eye on Pincus.
What do you mean?
I was dead.
Yeah?
For 7 minutes. And then when they brought me back, I can... Oh.
Yeah, well, look, that's the thing. New York is lousy with ghosts. I mean, they're everywhere, and they're a noisy, pushy, demanding bunch, same as when they were alive, and frustrated, too. The dead have a lot of unfinished business, which is why we're still here. And normally we can't talk to the living, and suddenly you come along, and you can imagine, there's a lot of excitement.
Why are you dressed like that? Were you a maitre d'?
I'm gonna ignore that, okay? You wear what you died in. At least I look nice.
Sapphire martini up with olives.
Thank you.
Drink your drink.
I'm gonna drink the drink.
All right.
Just shut up.
Pincus eyes the martini.
Is that if you please him? Am I still dead? I'm still dead, aren't I? This is heaven. Can't be heaven. You wouldn't be here. I'm lying on the operating table. They're gonna bring me round and poof, it's all gonna be a dream.
Well, don't overthink it. You were gone, now you're back. Have a drink. Have another one. God knows I would if I could.
You can take your BlackBerry with you.
I guess.
Well, have you got a signal?
Well, not yet, but I keep trying. Thank goodness I downloaded Tetris before I went.
Damn it!
He plays on his phone.
How'd you die?
Something went wrong with the anesthetic. I went in for a colonoscopy and it went down.
Yeah, I never got one of those.
I don't think you have to worry about it now.
What kind of anesthetic did they use?
I didn't want to use any. What?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about your ass feelings?
Don't actually say ass feelings. Well, I knew what you meant with that.
Well, if we're going to be hanging out, I just...
We're not going to be hanging out.
May I ask you a question, young man? Yeah. It's about my daughter. She lives in Far Rockaway. She won't speak to her sister.
Back off, Marjorie. All right? I'm talking to him. Whatever you do, don't talk to him.
I certainly see no harm in making a request of the young man.
How about the fact that I found him first? Look what you did. You upset him. No, what? No, you.
The brown-haired man points sternly at Marjorie, then follows Pincus out. Across from his apartment building, Pincus sits on a bench. The brown-haired man appears beside him. Pincus rolls his eyes and sighs.
Yeah, very good. I know you're there.
Let's start over, huh? Come on. You had a rough day. You're tense. You're keyed up. You do yoga? Huh? You do yoga? My girlfriend's got a studio. I'll show you where it is.
Girlfriend? I thought you said you were married.
Did I say I was a perfect person? Come on, let's hail a cab. She's hot.
You don't exist, okay? You're the bizarre after effects of some poorly administered anesthetic. I'm going to go home to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, with any luck, you'll be gone.
That would be truly rotten luck for my wife, who just needs a little bit of your help. If you would come through for me...
I'm not listening anymore.
Hey, I don't want to play hardball with you, but I will if I have to. It's Pincus, right?
Pincus?
This is a matter of life or death. It's my wife, okay?
She lives right
here in this building, all right? She's getting married in a couple of months to a real scumbag lawyer, a bad, bad guy. Somebody's got to stop this.
What do you care? You were having an affair.
Never been married, right? Okay. You need time. It's all right. I can take a hint.
It's not a hint.
Good evening, Dr. Pincus.
Just go to hell.
Pincus strides past the doorman, who wears an annoyed look. In Pincus's apartment, his work smock hangs on the back of a door. In his bedroom, he slumbers with his mouth open. Pincus laughs in his sleep. He shifts slightly, lying on his back. A bespectacled man peers into the bedroom. He enters, revealing himself as shirtless. The bespectacled man crosses the room, careful not to disturb Pincus. A low view shows his bare legs as he takes light steps toward the foot of the bed. The naked man walks around to the side and clears his throat. Pincus wears earplugs. Pincus shifts. Many ghosts stand with the naked man. They all clear their throats.
Is this a bad time?
My letter went under the carpet.
He lost something important, and I know where it is.
She won't wear a helmet because of me, but that's nuts!
Later, Pincus leaves his apartment and passes the brown-haired man in the hall.
Gee, I'm sorry, doctor. Did I accidentally give everybody your home address?
Pincus opens the elevator, finding it full of ghosts. Pincus eyes them wearily and lets the doors close. He sighs and walks to a stairwell.
I gotta tell you, nobody was more excited than naked guy.
Pincus goes into the stairwell. He enters the lobby to find it full of ghosts. Wearing an exasperated look, Pincus raises his hands.
Leave me alone.
The doorman spots him.
Dr. Pincus?
Back off!
Sorry?
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
He crosses the seemingly empty lobby and sneezes.
Bless you.
Oh, God, thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Stop it. If I sneeze again, I'll assume thank you. Just, I'm not very well. It's not you. It's a bit you. Mainly, you can't. But you're adding...
Pincus leaves. The brown-haired man waits outside.
Don't you see, Pincus, there's a reason I'm here, and this is it. I mean, this slimeball, he's using Gwen, trying to get his hands on her money. I left her a good chunk of change, you know.
Oh, my head.
I'm like your guardian angel.
It's Robin.
You can be the guardian angel's assistant.
Boss.
What, you don't want to help me earn my wings?
I don't care.
Well, you don't want to at least help Gwen?
She's beyond help, okay? She chose you, didn't she? And now she's got a new slimeball, and if that doesn't work out, I'm sure another Mr. Wrong will come along, because that seems to be her thing. Now... leave me alone.
He walks away.
I've got a crown at 8 a.m.
Oh, I see.
I understand. I get it.
What do you get?
You, just this whole self-loathing thing.
No, it's you I loathe.
Oh, please. Frankie spent some time on the couch. You know, dentists have one of the highest suicide rates of any other profession. But this might really give you a chance
to connect with another human being. Shut up, okay? Really... don't you understand? I don't give a shit. I like what I do. Do you know why? It suits me. Because 90% of the people I come into contact with have cotton wool shoved in their mouths. I'm not interested in their political opinions. I don't care what they thought of Spamalot. I don't care about their lives. I just... like the quiet!
You are a sad little man.
And you're a lying bigamous corpse.
No, I'm not a bigamous. I'm an adulterer. It's a whole different thing.
Sorry, my mistake. You were a real catch.
Come on, you don't think I'm gonna find you in a hotel?
Pincus stops walking and Frank steps in front of him. The other ghosts watch.
This is crazy, all right? You want your quiet life back, I'll make you a deal. Okay? I'll talk to him for you. Get him to leave you alone.
I'm good at talking people into things. It's what I do.
Did.
Pincus stares coldly.
Look, you do this one thing for me, you'll never see any of us ever again, okay?
The dentist looks skeptical.
Hmm?
Problem solved.
Pincus nods. In a museum lecture hall, Gwen gives a presentation. Pincus and Frank sit in the audience.
The mummy's been examined by virologists, oncologists, forensic pathologists searching for signs of foul play. But Pepe III's cause of death at the relatively young age of 23 still remains a mystery.
It can't be that hard to break up a relationship. I used to screw these things up all the time. Maybe we ought to just hire a broad to seduce him and videotape it, you know?
That woman lives in my building.
Or we send her an anonymous letter from his other family.
I've never seen her before.
You stole her cab, remember?
I've never noticed her, then.
Never noticed her? Open your eyes, man. You have a brain in a jar.
Okay, shh. I want to hear what she's got to say.
Really?
Yes.
And the grand manner in which Mummy 1999.1.4 was preserved also suggests that he was embalmed by royal mummifiers as opposed to curbside marketplace perverts. Preservus. It's awkward.
I suppose the simplest way to break it up would be to plant a seed of doubt in her mind. Give her another option.
I don't get it.
Present her with an alternative.
Oh, yeah, I thought of that. You mean like hire a good-looking male model or a fireman or something?
No, you don't need a... Don't need a male model or a fireman.
But somebody handsome, right?
Not too handsome, not chiseled, just approachable, sort of.
Because I was thinking, like, rugged and
round,
like somebody
face,
tough.
If anything, and sensitive.
Well, he's going to have a lot of cash, though.
If he's sensible with his money, he's probably invested well, and that would be
really
attractive. Yeah.
She might like that.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to be tall. Tall is important.
No, he's not. Average.
Really?
Yeah. Bordering on the show.
Oh, my word, you mean you.
Pincus looks embarrassed. He moves to a seat far from Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey. Well, don't walk away mad. Come here. Pink ass.
Frank's smile fades. He follows Pincus to his new seat and sits near him. Frank rolls his eyes.
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, a lot of great ideas sound completely ridiculous at first.
Sorry I even brought it up.
I'm still thinking about it. You know, it might work. I mean, all you'd have to do is be charming enough to give her a few second thoughts, you know? Be a challenge. Almost impossible. But I'd be there, you know? I'm pulling the strings. Guy in the bushes calling the plays. You know, I think I can do it. Really, I can do this. I can do it.
Forget it.
No. You're not married, are you?
Good God, no.
No, you got a girlfriend?
It's between. Well, us currently.
So you use hookers?
No, I don't use hookers.
We've also conducted extensive CT scans to search for orthopedic trauma, which may have led to infection, as you may remember was the case with Tutankhamun, as shown here on slide 43.
No. You know what? It's possible that she could actually go for you. I mean, she likes athletic guys. I mean, you work out or?
Yeah. Yeah. Twice a week.
Okay.
Free weights.
All right. Yeah. You got a nice thick head of hair.
Protein shampoo.
She's gonna like that.
Yeah. Look after your scalp.
Right. All we gotta do is find a way to get you two together, you know, in an apartment. You show up as the cable guy or innocent pizza boy or.
You watch a lot of porn, don't you?
No.
I was inclined to regard this injury as the result of attempts by plunderers to hastily remove the wrappings from the mummy.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over there when she's finished and strike up a conversation with her.
Frank nods doubtfully.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking in the smock.
Yes.
Whether or not that's...
I came straight from work.
Okay.
I'm a dentist. This is what we wear.
Yeah.
This is how we do it, baby.
Okay.
And remember that the show officially opens on Friday the 12th. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Later, Gwen packs presentation materials on the stage. Pincus approaches but turns away when an older man addresses her.
You know, it's an interesting story. My daughter went to Egypt.
Oh, really? Did she?
Oh, yeah.
The older man walks away. Gwen looks baffled.
Good. All right.
Pincus takes a nervous breath and approaches the stage.
I owe you an apology.
Gwen turns to him.
Do you mean for stealing my cab or for not holding the elevator?
Don't remember the second one.
Oh, no, I know. Maybe it was for that time that you told the super that somebody down on 9 was cooking stenchy ethnic food that stings the eyes.
Is that you?
It was tacos.
They told me that any complaints would be kept anonymous.
Or, you know, maybe it was for the 8 or 10 times that I said hello or good morning or whatever, and you never even looked at me.
A very private person.
What you are is a little bit of a jerk.
Gwen turns away.
Bertram Pincus, DDS.
So I've read.
She gestures at the name on his smock.
I enjoyed your lecture very much.
Thank you.
Don't take the walkouts personally.
I hadn't noticed. But, you know, thank you for that encouragement.
Quite a few. What do they know?
Gwen looks irritated.
Atrocious dental hygiene.
I'm sorry?
Your mummy, 1999.1.4. He was no flosser.
Pinker smiles nervously. Gwen looks away.
Dental humor.
Is there something else?
Pincus nods, then shakes his head. He points.
Shoes. Your shoes are comfortable.
He shrugs.
Bye.
They walk in the same direction, but Pincus turns the other way. Outside the museum.
I knew you were going to come off scary.
It wasn't scary. I caught her at a bad time.
Right, and scared her.
I'm not scary.
An alarmed couple walks away from them.
No. Let me preface this. What the hell is your problem?
I don't have a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a big problem. Big problem with women. No, I take it back. You got a problem with people.
Yeah, they suck.
Oh, would you quit banging that drum? What's the drama? Some big bad lady went and broke your heart? Well, get over it. It's in the past.
You know nothing about my past.
I know you got to forget about this and let it go. It's not helping you out there. Listen, the thing with women is that they...
I do fine with women. Thanks very much.
You know, for the sake of time, I'm going to agree with that insane point and say, yeah, you do great with women. You do great. But you stink with this one. So we got work to do.
In bed, Pincus lies beside Frank.
Oh, and she likes a man who's a man. She likes you to order for her in a restaurant. And don't get bossy. Don't ever tell her to take it easy, Pincus. This will make her absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I do know how to talk to people.
Pincus puts in earplugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a gift, don't you?
Huh?
At the elevator.
Once you're with her, you got to show you care. You got to be jealous. Got to be suspicious. Why on earth would I do that? Because it shows you're interested. This is the worst advice I've ever had in my life.
They enter the elevator.
But she's jealous, too, and she's no dummy. She thinks you're lying, so raise one eyebrow and cock her head.
Frank demonstrates.
Got her pirate look. Rattles the hell out of you.
The elevator doors open, revealing Gwen.
Hi.
I'm gonna get the next one.
Don't be silly. Get in here.
I don't want to. Okay.
Pincus?
No, Okay, just don't say anything. No, you're not ready.
Pincus smiles.
Just, you're not ready. Just ride in silence, okay? Don't do this. And get that face off. You're not, don't do it.
I've been thinking about your decaying jawbone. Pitting is what I'm talking. Saw it on the slideshow. Which would indicate to me, a trained dentist, some bone loss along the upper left mandibular gum line.
The mummy.
Open invitation to a little vitus called Ginger. Gingivitis. More dental humour. This time pun-based, but essentially. Check out the mandibular bone loss, if I...
But wouldn't that just be ordinary wear and tear?
Pincus scoffs with a grin.
Oh, there's only on one side, you idiot.
Gwen looks offended.
I don't think so.
How do the ladies resist their rapiers?
Gwen looks baffled. The doors open. They all exit into the lobby.
All right. Not a total disaster. Next time, you just gotta listen to what it is that I'm saying.
Excuse me. Do you think maybe you could come by someday and maybe examine him?
Let's have a look, shall we?
Pincus and Frank smile. The dentist takes a date book and a pen from his jacket pocket.
Okay. No, today is out, tomorrow is out. That. Cannot move that. Can't move that. That is set in stone. And that little puppy is hunkered in good. Hunkery dunkery dock. I don't want to move that, but I can't do that either.
Gwen bites her lip impatiently.
It's okay.
Abound.
She glances at the door.
Pack him in. Move him out. Raw hide. No.
Gwen gapes at him. Frank eyes Pincus impatiently.
Oh, for the love of God!
4 o'clock Thursday seems totally free, so.
Right. Okay.
Gwen leaves.
Good. See you then.
Gesturing toward Gwen, Frank smiles at Pincus. Glimpses show views of New York City. High-rise buildings stand against cloudy skies. Trees with orange and yellow leaves line park pathways. In Pincus' living room, Frank stares at a newspaper on the coffee table. Looking frustrated, he sits on the couch and pulls out his phone. Pincus enters.
Oh, thank God you're back. You left the newspaper on a cell phone ad, you sadist.
I'm sorry. No, forget it. I'm not in the mood anymore.
Pincus opens a box.
Where have you been? Huh? I sit around here all day long, and you're out God knows where. You meet interesting people. You have a career. Hey, is that a new shirt? Hey, it is a new shirt, and it's got sleeves. Well, well, well. Pinky's got himself a brand new shirt for the big...
Pincus shuts the door. He walks to a mirror and puts on the yellow button-down shirt. Glimpses show him adjusting his appearance. He undoes the top button. He unbuttons another, exposing his chest hair. With the second button refastened, Pincus sighs and ruffles his neat hair. He whips his head up and down, fluffing his hair. Strands fall loosely over one side of his forehead. With a hairdryer, the dentist fixes his hair, then blows directly at his face. His hair blows back as if facing the wind. Pincus grins at his reflection.
Yeah, it's my yacht, yeah.
He wears a jacket over his new shirt and examines his appearance in the mirror. In a lab, Pincus and Gwen lean over a mummified body.
Quite the little heartbreaker, huh? You should have seen the state he was in when we found him. Blackened skin, multiple fractures from extensive marauding, fully retreated lips. 5,000 years of acid reflux will do that to you.
They smile at each other.
Deep down, you know, the preservation was exquisite New Kingdom work. And it's what's underneath that counts. First, they suction his brain out through his nose, and then they make a slit in the side of the abdomen so that they can remove the stomach, liver, intestines.
Beautiful.
So that they could be separately preserved in canopic jars. But what's really exciting about Pepe is how they handled his organ.
His organ?
Yeah, his dick. I got it right here. You want to see it?
Please.
There's nothing unusual about the phallus itself.
Sure.
It's the way it was stored. You know, normally the penis and the heart are kept together and mummified along with the body. But in Pepe's case, they removed it and preserved it in this separate gold-encrusted jar.
He looks.
Oh, God. I can see why he was king. Oh.
You okay?
Yeah, I've got to get used to looking down at a shriveled old penis eventually. Oh, jeez. I can see he died happy.
Gwen laughs.
That's it. That's enough.
He must have had huge hands.
No.
Yeah.
Later.
Is this here, the pitting that you were referring to?
Yeah. Here, and look, really bad there.
Oh, we just assumed that was post-mortal decay.
Ooh, don't be naive. That is the work of an untreated abscess. That was an absolute magic carpet of bacterial infection.
And that could have killed him?
Yeah, if it was severe, that would have led to something more systemic, and as soon as the infection hit the spinal column... He'd have pennies on his eyes in no time at all.
Well, the mouth.
Huh?
A coin in the mouth. It was a Greek tradition, you know, to pay the boatman to ferry you across the river Styx. But, I mean, this is an amazing breakthrough, and just in time for our opening next Thursday. Hey, will you come?
What a big opening with loads of people.
Yeah.
And, no.
Thanks. You don't like crowds?
It's not so much the crowd as the individuals in the crowd that I don't like.
Well, if you change your mind, you let me know. It just seems so obvious now. Why didn't I call a dentist sooner?
Everybody waits until it's too late.
So you're a funny dentist.
Pincus shrugs. Gwen smiles.
You want to touch him?
Ooh, this is my lucky day.
Yeah. No, really, really more. Touch him.
Yeah.
Gwen guides his hand.
Oh, down there. Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Brilliant.
Pincus removes his hand and Gwen sniffs the body.
Oh, don't you just love that smell? It's not decay. It's the resin. It's pine. They imported it from North Africa. After a couple of hours, the smell that was initially so sweet, it triggers your vomit impulse.
Like visiting your grandmother.
Gwen smiles and bites her lip, averting her gaze. Pincus reaches into his pocket.
Sugar-free treat?
He hands her a hard candy.
Sure. Okay.
Gwen spots the price tag on the back of his shirt.
It's sweetened with splendor.
Gwen smiles and leans on the table next to Pincus.
Surprisingly delightful.
On a sidewalk.
Have you lived in the building long?
4 years and 1 month. Originally born and raised in England, obviously, and then...
Why'd you move?
London. Just too much. Overcrowded, just... Oh, no privacy. Just too many people.
So you picked Manhattan?
The reasoning is a little bit convoluted. It's difficult to explain. I...
What's her name?
Sarah.
Wife?
No.
Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Still together?
Possibly. I haven't spoken to her for years. No, she died, actually. Quite sad. She had a rare condition. Have you heard of auto-cannibalism? She actually ate herself.
Stunned, Gwen shakes her head.
I made that up. I'm joking.
But that's not funny.
Funnier than the truth.
Okay, and the truth about Sarah is?
Very boring and ordinary.
Near the apartment building.
How long have you been here?
Can you just hold on 1 second? This is so stupid, but my keychain broke and I can never find my keys. I moved back to the city about a year ago, just after my husband died.
Oh, you lost your husband? I'm sorry to hear that.
Thanks. I want to ask you something, and you tell me if it's inappropriate.
Okay.
Gwen sits close to him on the bench.
Okay.
She points at one of her teeth.
This tooth. It kills whenever I drink anything cold. I mean, it's just... Should I make an appointment?
No, just warm the drinks up.
He smirks.
Let's have a look. Head back. Open wide.
A dark-haired ghost appears.
Hey, dentist. I need you to clip a guy for me.
Can you tell what it is?
It's bad molar contact.
You see, dentist, in life, I accepted payment for a job which I wasn't able to complete.
Bad molar contact? Is it really very serious?
You should come and see me.
Should I?
You have to finish it for me. There's a .38 snub nose taped onto the seat of my mother's Cadillac. You just give him 2 in the head, leave the gun on the floor.
Gwen smiles.
Well, maybe I will.
Okay.
Naked guy appears by her.
Oh, what the... It's now a good time.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's just the...
Because you look a little... Oh,
she bends in front of naked guy to pick up her keys.
Huh? Oh, look, right in the ear, Nin. It's just, I saw you talking to Irish Eddie, and I figured, you know...
Hey there!
A handsome man approaches.
Hey!
Oh, good, another one.
Gwen looks confused.
Hey, honey.
Oh, hey, I didn't see you. Hi.
Oh, alive.
Why did this fellow have his hands in your mouth?
Sorry, Dr. Pincus, this is Richard, my fiancé.
Oh.
Richard, this is Dr. Pincus, that dentist that I told you about in the building. I think he's got a really terrific idea about what might have killed Pepe.
Really? That's fantastic. You know, I've been needing to find a dentist myself. Why don't you join us for dinner tomorrow night, Doctor? At Gwen's. I'm making curry.
Naked guy grins.
She's really cute. Oh, don't.
Doctor?
Yes, love to.
Great.
I'm in 9F, right below you.
Richard and Gwen walk away in Gwen's living room.
I hope it was edible.
Best pie I've ever tasted.
Stop complimenting him.
You're too kind.
Frank stands by the bookshelf.
Where did you learn to cook?
Idiot boy, you're making him look good.
I had a friend who was generous with her time.
Richard's being modest. He worked for 3 years with homeless prostitutes in Bengal.
He's still in the sex trade, or?
Richard scowls.
Inappropriate.
Frank tries to high-five Pincus, who ignores him.
You know, Doctor, I confess an ulterior motive in asking you here tonight. As a dentist, you could do an awful lot of good in the developing world. They're in desperate need of modern dental care.
Modern dental care? You believe this guy?
Now, the political will is there. The money's there.
What an act. So pompous. Sorry, what is that?
My new puppy.
NGOs are being supported, record levels.
I need you to punch him.
But what we really need...
Come on!
...are boots on the ground.
Kick his self-righteous teeth in!
How can teeth be self-righteous?
Gwen and Richard stare at Pincus. They look perplexed.
It's a strange thing for a dentist to burst out with over a curry. But, you know, it needs to be... I know the answer. They can't. What is essentially dentine and enamel outcrops from various mandibles are inanimate and therefore have no moral code. All they can do is chew and grind, and that's passive. Mainly the cheek muscles do that. From what were you saying?
I was saying We need people like you who can bring their expertise to bear in places like Peru, Cambodia, sub-Saharan Africa.
Mainly those sort of really hot, sticky places. I'm just not a humidity person. I mean, what is the dental care like in, say, I don't know, Palm Springs? There's breezes. You know, what are the teeth like in Saint-Tropez? I mean, I could do veneers. They love to smile, the French. Shrugging and smiling. And
He's kidding, sweetie.
Gwen pokes Richard with her foot and sips her drink. He stares at Pincus, then sets down his glass. Richard grabs his phone from his shirt pocket. He looks at the screen.
Sorry, I have to take this.
Richard leaves the room.
Well, he'd be handy on a camping trip, huh?
Do you want some more wine?
Tent pole stuck up his ass.
Please.
Gwen grabs an empty wine bottle and takes it to the kitchen. Nearby, Richard talks on his phone.
Well, that is perfectly unacceptable.
In the living room.
Oh, What? Whoa. Am I throwing you off your game? If I am, just give me a fake cough and I'll...
Frank smiles.
Okay, was that a Gwen? Okay. I'm gone.
Frank leaves. Gwen returns with a new wine bottle.
Richard's a human rights lawyer, so he takes his job very seriously.
Oh, well, so you should with human rights. I take human rights seriously, you know. Everybody's equal, color, creed, or circumstance. We're all the same on this planet.
They share a smile.
Except the Chinese.
What?
No, they are. They're the odd ones out, if you had to pick one. No, I'm not having a go. I'm just saying, you know, not their faces. I mean, no. But they call each other things like quack. And that's their choice. They don't have to call a kid quack. Some people are called Pong.
Stop.
And there's
Please
about
stop.
A million Wangs. You can if you have one kid, you can use all those names on one little... You could call a kid quack Pong Wang.
Mingwa Man and Holy Pock have been arrested in Shaolin. I have to get down to the office.
Oh.
Well, they're being arraigned in 30 minutes, and government will only allow their attorneys to appear by closed circuit. I'm afraid I have to go. Doctor, it's been a... Yeah, so you guys stay and have fun and finish up.
As Richard leaves, Gwen and Pincus stifle laughter.
Oh, gosh, poor Leonard. Do you mind if I let him out?
No, not at all.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Now, Pincus sits in a chair, staring at the large dog next to him. Leonard sits on the floor, panting. Gwen eats cake.
When did you get your horse?
A couple of months ago. I found him at this shelter on Long Island. They were going to put him down.
Then they lost their nerve, did they? Ooh.
The smell? Yeah, I know. His mood levelers give him this ulcerating skin rash.
Gwen puts her plate on the table and liberally sprays air freshener in Pincus's direction. She continues spraying, then sets down the can.
Oh, are you okay?
Got a very sensitive gag reflex.
Oh, dear.
And the mixture of that and that.
Are you all right? Do you want to...
Sorry.
You know what? I think he needs to go out. Do you want to maybe walk him now, or we could finish up and...
Now's good, yeah. Get some air with some oxygen in it.
He grins, then gags again. Outside, Gwen and Pincus stand on the sidewalk. They smile awkwardly at each other. The dentist points to a spot on the ground beside Gwen. She looks down and smiles. Holding Leonard's leash in one hand and a plastic grocery bag in the other, Gwen bends over.
Oh, Leonard, you good boy. That is so healthy.
Good boy.
Yes, good boy.
She ties up the bag of poop.
You want to finish dinner?
I don't think I'm quite ready for solid foods just yet. Have a drink, though.
Sure. There's Bellman's. It's just around the corner. Or I know, have you ever been to that new...
Leonard yanks Gwen by his leash. Outside a restaurant, the dog sits tethered to a bench. Inside, a waiter serves drinks to Pincus and Gwen.
I know, yeah. No, I like Sting because you can hear he's educated in his lyrics.
Tim's got the Bellini.
Thank you.
And a sapphire martini up with olives.
Thank you.
You know, that was Frank's favorite drink.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
You forgot?
Huh?
You forgot what?
Forgot.
But you recently lost your husband, and the polite thing to do in this situation would have been to check what the deceased's drink was, as not to evoke any horrible memories.
Why would you assume that they were horrible?
Painful. Not necessarily horrible at all, but the memories, nonetheless, of drink-related death memory.
Oh. I like a Pimm's cup. Mm. This is exactly the kind of girly drink that Frank would have teased me about. Once when we were in Anguilla, I ordered a screaming orgasm. And so Frank goes up to the waiter and he grabs him by the lapels and he goes, hey, I'm the only one giving...
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry, I'm just running on about my dead husband.
No, it wasn't you. No, I've just seen someone I hate. It's...
Frank appears.
Oh, it's sweet. They never get over Frankie.
Someone I really hate.
Well, do you want to leave?
No. He should leave. Let's do so. You were saying that Frank had his flaws.
I was?
Yeah, and that's really healthy, because you should not romanticize the dead. You should remember their faults.
Oh, well, I remember them.
Oh, good. Well, let's make a list.
What do you think you're doing?
This is therapeutic, actually. You can trust me. I'm a dentist. Come on, then.
Okay.
His faults, number one.
Well, Frank could be a little controlling.
Well, that's what made me successful.
But that's probably why he was so good at his job.
No, don't apologize for him. If he was obnoxious, say so.
Okay. He was occasionally obnoxious.
Regularly, I imagine.
No, you walked her into that. That didn't count, Pincus. Hey, what are you doing, Marjorie? You rubbernecking?
Oh, be quiet. Let him talk. You could learn something.
He had a shoe fetish.
But it's so embarrassing because it starts on shoes and go to gloves and hats and socks up the right pervert.
Oh, and he was rude to waiters, and I hate that.
Oh, so do I.
You mind?
Because they're just doing a job, aren't they? What a nasty piece of work. So, what about his physical characteristics? I bet he was really into fitness because he was a scrawny little runt, was he?
No, but, you know, he was actually starting to get into yoga at the end there.
I bet he was.
But he spent a lot of time at the gym.
Yeah, okay, this is shaping up nicely. So now we've got a narcissistic, obnoxious pervert who's rude to waiters. It's a good list.
I don't have to listen to shit.
Frank starts to go.
Disloyal.
Frank stops. He turns to face the table while Marjorie watches. Pincus looks down at the list. Wearing a somber expression, Gwen drops her stare. Pincus puts his pen in his coat pocket.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
She shakes her head sadly. Frank looks to Marjorie, who glares at him. Frank gazes at Gwen.
I didn't know you knew.
Gwen looks at Pincus.
I didn't find out until the day he died. Can you imagine? I didn't get the chance to say, hey, go to hell, you know, I want a divorce, like a normal person.
Gwen fights back tears. Looking upset, Frank leaves. Pincus eyes Gwen sympathetically.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must feel...
unfinished.
They both look down at the table. In the apartment building elevator, Leonard sits in front of Gwen and Pincus. Gripping his leash, Gwen smiles at her dog. Pincus looks from her to Leonard. Pincus opens and closes his mouth in hesitation.
She used to travel a lot for her work, Sarah. And the trips got longer and longer. And then one trip, she didn't come back at all. Married a man in Portland.
He lowers his eyes as he shrugs. Gwen looks at him.
Sorry.
Pincus avoids eye contact and shakes his head. Gwen smirks.
Travel will do that to a relationship.
They both grin, but their expressions quickly fade.
I just got this amazing offer to go map tombs in the Valley of the Kings for 6 months.
Oh.
But I think I'm gonna say no this time.
Oh. Because of Richard.
Gwen nods half-heartedly.
Yeah.
The elevator doors open.
Good night.
Good night.
Gwen and Leonard leave, but she returns and pushes the elevator door open.
Your story. It's not boring and ordinary, by the way. I mean, we just get the one life, you know? Just one. You can't live someone else's or think it's more important just because it's more dramatic. What happens matters. Maybe only to us, but... it matters. Good night.
Gwen walks away.
Good night.
The elevator doors close and Pincus sighs. In his kitchen, Pincus stirs a simmering pot of milk on the stove with a wooden spoon. Frank leans against a nearby window.
What? What's with the doom and gloom? It's going good. You're weaseling your way right in there. This is gonna work.
This Richard fellow, I think Gwen really loves him. You know, he's a human rights lawyer.
Hey, when the devil shows up, you think he's gonna have little red horns and carry a pitchfork? No, he's gonna work for Amnesty International. He's gonna give all of his money to the homeless.
Well, if he did all that, wouldn't he lose the title, the devil?
You know what I mean. Pincus, I got better things to do with my time. I wouldn't just be hanging out here.
What exactly is your problem with Richard?
I told you. The guy is setting her up to rob her blind.
And what proof have you got? What are you basing this on?
I saw things with my own two eyes.
Saw what?
Just enough to know.
Come on, what did he do?
What? Okay, all right, fine. They're out at a restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
And they're eating.
Yeah.
And the check came. And this clown says that his wallet is in his coat. It's over at the coat check. How convenient, right?
Right.
So he goes over to go get it, makes a big show about the whole thing, too. And she says, no, let me get this.
Frank smiles expectantly. Pincus nods.
Yeah.
And he accepted.
Pincus frowns.
There's nothing wrong with him, is there?
No, don't you see? He showed his true colors.
Yeah. Listen, he's a perfectly lovely human being.
Pincus, there are other things. He took $5,000 from her.
He what?
Yeah, $5,000. I saw her write the check with my own two eyes, put it right in his sweaty little fist.
Frank sighs disapprovingly.
For charity. He was fundraising, wasn't he?
Or shaking the money tree, see what drops,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. What was it, AIDS?
No.
Refugees? Orphans? Orphans. Good.
You're missing the point. You really are. This guy, he's a lawyer.
Yeah, a lawyer who fights to protect the rights of the underprivileged. Come on.
There must be something wrong with him. There must be some reason why all this is happening. Otherwise, what am I doing here?
I'm out.
What? No. What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not going to interfere with Gwen's life anymore, and I can't lie to her. You're right about the pirate look. She threw that at me, and I nearly confessed everything there and then.
You can't abandon her to this creep.
She loves him.
She doesn't love him. I haven't seen her laugh once with this guy.
He's a good man.
You actually like him with this whole Mother Teresa shtick?
I hate him, okay? I want to run him over with his own little stupid electric car. But he's what Gwen wants, and after what she's been through with you, she deserves a bit of happiness.
Frank glares at him.
You're in love with her.
Pincus walks to his bedroom. Frank rolls his eyes.
You are. Oh, I knew it.
He goes to the bedroom door. Pincus takes off his shoes.
That little Grinch heart of yours actually started beating, and now you want to take it back to your cave and crush it with a rock. That's what you want to do.
Pincus avoids eye contact.
I quit.
You can't quit. I'll make your life a living hell.
Pincus scoffs, then glares at Frank.
It already is.
He continues removing his shoes. Frank walks away and passes through the closed front door. In a busy bar, a man and a woman laugh, talk, and drink wine. Frank sits between them. He gazes off with a despondent expression. In her bathroom, Gwen brushes Leonard's teeth. The large dog stands in the bathtub, covered in soap suds. Gwen leans back on the edge of the tub, holding Leonard's muzzle.
There you go. That's such a good boy. Such a good boy. Leonard, open. Open.
Gwen struggles to open his mouth.
Come on, Leonard, don't be a jerk. Come on.
Gwen yanks the brush free to find the bristles missing. She grabs a new one.
You don't want to wait until it's too late, Dees.
She throws her head back with laughter. Leonard leaps out of the tub. Gwen falls on the bath mat.
It's too late.
She sits up, staring off in thought. Gwen's smile fades. She stares at her engagement ring, which sits on a counter. In an exam room at Pincus's office.
And so Alex says to me, Mommy, I know that babies come from inside a lady's tummy, but what I really want to know is, how do they get there? Can you believe? And of course, I have no clue what to say, but I have to come up with something because his father...
Oh, Pincus inserts a mold.
No talking, not when we're popping this in. Okay. Bite down there. Okay. There you go. Oh, good. Just... leave that
Isn't that good? So much better. You're resting your jaw and I'm resting my ears and we're all winners.
He sets a timer and goes to the reception desk.
Can you get these over to the lab? Bit of a rush job. Mr. Harriman's bridge is on the verge of... I thought I was through today after this.
You are through.
What were the...
He points at people in the waiting area.
What about what?
Frank.
Who?
The...
I don't know who you mean.
What did you... Who? I've never...
Kate, my opinion is that you didn't make sense just now.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about. Can I have the bathroom key, please? I'm having a bit of a...
Ghosts watch Pincus.
Oh, no, he'll run.
That's him.
Dentist, don't piss me off.
Thank you.
Pincus grabs the bathroom key. In a back alley, he hurries up a staircase. Now Pincus sneaks around the building. At a corner, he hides behind bushes as the ghosts congregate in front of his apartment building. Marjorie joins the group.
He's not in the office!
In the exam room, the timer goes off. The brunette patient looks around.
Well, then he must be upstairs.
The ghosts run into the apartment building, passing the doorman. Emerging from hiding, Pincus runs toward the dental office.
Good afternoon, Doc.
Oh. Good to see you. Smart. Friendly.
Pincus pats the doorman on the chest. He enters his office through the front door. He places the key on the reception desk.
Just been to the toilet.
The receptionist looks in the direction he left from.
Different route back around the... I mean, I finished earlier than I thought, so I just took my time. I mean, you can take a long time next time. If you...
Pincus abruptly walks away and enters the exam room. He pulls at the mold in the brunette's mouth.
A set?
He struggles to remove it.
Oh, okay.
He pulls the mold loose.
Oh, good.
Can you take a walk in before you leave, Dr. Pincus? He seems to be in a lot of pain.
Life is pain.
He walks away, staring at the mold.
Does that mean yes?
Entering a different room, Pincus looks at a chart.
So, we have an emergency on our hands. I'm Dr. Pincus.
Yes, we've met.
He spots Richard.
Oh, hi.
Thanks for seeing me.
Yep. What seems to be the problem?
I don't know. I think I must have cracked a filling.
That was silly.
Pincus reclines the chair.
Head back. Let's have a look, shall we? Open up.
He looks in Richard's mouth.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Well, you've got the bite of an Inuit. You've been chewing seal, huh?
Yeah, well, I tend to grind my teeth pretty hard when I'm stressed, and I'm... Oh, I don't know, last night was a tough one. I came home and Gwen was...
What?
Pincus holds a scraper.
Gwen was...
Oh, no, never mind.
No, you're gonna say something.
Well, she was just...
Richard scoffs and shakes his head.
No, forget about it.
No, I can't forget about it. Just...
Well, it's nothing. Can we just get
well,
this...
Well, it is something, or you wouldn't have brought it up, and, you know...
It's personal.
I know that, but I mean... Is to
I'd rather not talk about it.
We finish just... what you started is my motto. I'm a good listener. Please.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Can you wait a minute then?
I'm in pain.
Please.
Pincus walks out. He goes to an exam room doorway.
Dr. Prashar?
He enters, stepping next to his colleague's patient. Prashar looks up from his work.
Jahangir. His first name.
Pincus inches closer.
You're from a scary country, aren't you?
Prashar raises his brow.
Excuse me.
He lowers his mask.
I'm from India. Yeah. So you're not a Christian, I guess.
Pincus glances at the patient.
No, I'm a Hindu.
Oh.
Pincus smiles.
How would you extract information from a hostile?
Confused, Prashar looks from his patient to Pincus.
Well, as a Hindu person, I would ask them politely.
Prashar forces a smile.
Yeah. Just need a technique. Doctor, I'm with a patient.
Yeah.
Pincus leaves. The patient looks puzzled. In the other exam room, Pincus rolls in his chair next to Richard.
So, where were we?
You were telling me about Gwen something?
No, I wasn't. I meant my tooth.
Tooth. Yeah. Let's do this professionally. All work and no play makes Jack a valuable member of society.
Pincus shrugs.
Open up.
He taps a tool against Richard's tooth.
Ah! Ooh. That hurts.
Did it? Well, take your word for that. But it almost certainly would in this situation. Oh, do you know the worst thing in the world for teeth?
Sugar.
Secrets. If you tell me what's on your mind, you will feel better.
As I said before, Doctor, it's private. I really would like to keep this on a professional footing.
Yes, please.
Pincus turns to his tool tray.
We can play it any way you want to.
He grabs a syringe. Richard eyes the needle uneasily.
Actually...
Pincus brings over a contraption holding large gas canisters and hoses. Richard furrows his brow as he looks at it.
That's not Novocaine.
No, it is a little dab of nitrous oxide.
Nitrous? I didn't know you guys still use nitrous.
Are there any side effects?
A few. Some people laugh. Some people get sleepy. They'll talk.
He places a mask connected to the canisters over Richard's nose. On a sidewalk, Pincus carries a small shopping bag.
Hey, Frankie. Fancy seeing you here.
You back on the job yet, or you need me to send more? Huh? Because I got a couple Civil War reenactors to talk your ear off. They used live ammo.
Didn't get the news. Job's done. Richard's history.
What?
She dumped him last night.
How do you know?
He told me. The marriage is up.
So he's out completely?
Well, he wants to stay friends, but she's done with him. She said she was confused about her feelings and it wasn't right to string him along, so...
Frank looks thoughtful.
Why would Richard tell you all this?
Because I gave him 700 milliliters of nitrous oxide.
Is that a lot?
Nah, it's not fatal till 750.
You know, I think this sounds a lot like a premarital spat. I mean, no. Young couples at this stage...
Definitely not.
Very it's normal for them to start to get into
she's
this...
She's taken the job in Egypt. She's going there for 6 months. It's the real thing. She leaves... Thursday, right after the exhibition opens.
Well, this is great news.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should maybe go celebrate, I guess.
I can't.
Oh, me neither. Well, what's in the bag? Oh,
nothing.
Is that from a jewelry store? Oh, my gosh, is that for Gwen?
Doesn't matter.
Well, whatever happened to the I will not interfere thing?
There's nothing to interfere with now, is there? The relationship's over. She doesn't love him.
And you think she's going to love you, a smock-wearing tooth jockey? I mean, I'm
you
sorry.
You said that if I broke up the marriage, you'd leave me alone. I broke up the marriage. Leave me
you
alone.
You should at least let me help you pick out something. You have any idea how much Please Forgive Me jewelry I bought her over
the
years.
I can take it from here.
She loves Peruvian gold, but Pincus, you're rushing things, I'm telling you.
Listen, our time together, as we both know, has been rather unpleasant. But I will say this, even though you're a vulgar man, boorish, distasteful, uncouth, uneducated, stupid, at least...
Pincus shifts his eyes. Frank blinks and looks at him expectantly.
You gonna finish?
Done.
Pincus shrugs.
Okay.
Point is this. We finished what you had to finish. And who knows, one day, not too soon, I hope, we meet up again. Until then, this is our fond farewell.
Yeah, but...
Auf Wiedersehen.
Pincus walks away.
But why am I still here?
Outside the apartment building, the construction worker ghosts talk to Pincus as he approaches the entrance.
Construction crane dropped 2 tons of steel on us.
Oh, that must have hurt.
It was a hydraulic leak, an act of God.
Why does he do those things?
But the crane operator, he thinks it's all his fault.
Oh, therapy time.
Pincus walks past the doorman to the lobby. The doorman looks surprised. In a park, Pincus walks with Gwen. She unwraps a gift in a small black box.
Don't panic, it's nothing.
Gwen opens the box and peeks inside. Smiling, she throws her head back in delight.
A keychain. Ah, I needed a keychain. I could love it.
Oh, good.
I can't believe you remembered. That is just... What a strange and practical man you are.
It was down to that or a set of socket wrenches.
Well, I hope you didn't spend too much.
$140. The receipt's in the box.
No, well, you don't actually have to tell people in that situation.
No. I'm just saying it was no big deal. It's not like it's Peruvian gold or anything. And the reason I say that is because there was a set of earrings made from Peruvian gold in the shop, and I thought Gwen would like those, but sorry, a little bit out of my price range, so...
Gwen looks suspicious.
What? Stop giving me the pirate look. Just got you a gift and, you know, nothing ostentatious or pushy, just a little gesture to let you know I've been thinking about you and I think you should accept it in the spirit of friendship with which it was given.
Pirate look? How could you possibly know about that?
I don't.
You do?
Common expression?
No. How do you know about any of this stuff? Pirate look, Peruvian gold.
Everyone knows about Peruvian gold.
And then the other night, Frank's favorite drink.
Oh, come on, take it easy.
Don't tell me to take it easy.
You hate that.
Ah, how do you know what I hate?
Lucky guess. Can we start again?
Why don't you just tell her? Come on, spill it. She's leaving anyway in a few days. Gonna have to go with the truth, Dennis. No choice.
You got about 10 seconds to start talking, buddy, and then I'm out of here. How do you know this stuff from my life with Frank?
I sound crazy.
Try her.
Try me.
couple of weeks ago, I went into hospital for a routine operation, but there was complications, and I died.
Nearby, a person plays a hand drum.
It's true. I can prove it. He's here right now with us.
You know what? Just stop. What you're doing, it's cruel.
How else would I know all the things I know?
You must have known, Frank. I don't know. Maybe you were his dentist.
Ask me something else, then. Something that I couldn't possibly know.
How do you get like you?
Please, one question, and if I get it wrong, you'll never see me again.
Pincus looks at her pleadingly.
Frank used to have this nightmare over and over. He'd wake up in tears, and he never told anybody else about it but me. What was it?
Pincus looks to Frank.
Drowning. I dreamed that I dove into the water and I went down deep, but when I turned around to make it back to the top, I couldn't, no matter how hard I swam.
Drowning. He dived into the water and it didn't matter how hard he tried to get back to the surface, he couldn't.
Gwen briefly drops her gaze.
That's right, isn't it?
She shakes her head.
Not even close.
Gwen starts to leave, but turns back.
No. You know, the first time I met you and then the next 10 or 12 times after that, I thought, what a jerk. But then I got to know you a little bit, right? And I convinced myself that I saw something human in you. You know, maybe he's just a little eccentric, needs a little work. But to use intimate details about my dead husband in order to get close to me or for God knows what other reason, that's unforgivable. You're sick.
Gwen shoves the box into his hands and walks off.
I love you.
Don't call me.
She leaves. Pincus turns to Frank and glares. The ghost watches Gwen walk away.
You lied. Why would you do that?
Frank faces Pincus. He approaches the dentist and scowls.
Because you're a heartless son of a bitch who doesn't give a rat's ass about anyone but himself.
Frank looks down the path that Gwen left on.
She's already had one of those.
See you around, dentist.
Frank leaves in the other direction. Staring down the path, Pincus looks crestfallen. On a different path, Pincus walks with his head bowed, holding the keychain box. Lifting his head, he steps to the side of the path, approaching benches. Pincus sits and stares ahead with a thoughtful expression. Behind him, people walk on footpaths and rest on nearby benches. At night, Pincus remains seated on the bench, now alone in the park. He taps his feet as he broods. Our view draws close to Pincus. Wearing an impatient expression, he looks to his side at Marjorie, who sits on the next bench.
What?
It's my daughter.
Yeah, you mentioned something about that.
She won't speak to her sister, her only sister. She's so angry about the necklace I left, but I slipped a letter under her door the day before I died. It explained everything. But there was carpeting in the entryway. I didn't know the letter went under the carpet. She never got it.
My God, you're boring, aren't you?
He spots the blue-eyed ghost.
Oh.
My little boy has a stuffed animal, a squirrel. It was his favorite. He took it everywhere. Couldn't get to sleep without it. But he lost it on the day I died. They don't know it's just under the front seat of the car. It's right there. They just can't see it. So now he cries himself to sleep without it every night because to him, the toy's me.
I can't help you.
Pincus averts his eyes.
You mean you won't help us? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I'll tell you what else is true, shall I? We live alone, and then we die alone. And apparently, we stay alone.
Pincus stares down.
That's the truth too, isn't it?
He looks from side to side, finding the ghosts gone. Still holding the keychain box, the dentist takes a breath and stares blankly ahead. An object falls from the sky onto the bench beside Pincus. He looks at it, furrowing his brow. Pincus picks up the clear, crystalline object and examines it. He curiously looks up at the dark, cloudy sky. Another object falls onto Pincus's forehead. As he peers up again, a downpour of hail rains onto Pincus. He covers his head and hurries away from the benches. Glimpses around the city show the downpour continuing during the day. Icicles form on a fountain, a flower bush, tree branches, and a stoplight. Outside the apartment building, the doorman stands under the awning as the downpour continues. A strong wind blows paper into the street. In his bedroom, Pincus sits in a chair and stares out his window. Outside, the doorman throws rock salt onto the frozen sidewalk. As Pincus approaches, the heavy wind blows salt, hitting the dentist and the doorman in the face. Pincus squints as he walks against the wind toward his office. As he takes a step forward, a gust of wind blows hard against him. He slips on the icy sidewalk and lands on his back. Pincus enters his office. He switches on the light in the waiting room, finding Marjorie, the blue-eyed man, and the biker ghost waiting for him. In another row, he spots the construction workers, the elderly ghost couple, and the nurse. They all stare at him. He sighs and switches off the light. In a dark exam room, an overhead operatory light flashes on and off. Pincus flips the light switch repeatedly as he lies in the patient chair. He looks down the hall and watches Prashar enter and turn on the waiting room light. As his colleague makes his way through the office, Pincus watches him. Prashar turns on other office lights. He peers over the counter at the reception desk, then takes off his thick coat. Prashar walks into an exam room. Pincus slowly turns his head, staring up at the ceiling. He switches the operatory light on. In the sterilization area, Pincus enters behind Prashar.
Hello.
What a day.
Yeah, well, appears that winter's upon us.
Hail.
What?
Doesn't even have the decency to snow.
Prashar looks at Pincus.
Is there any more stupid form of precipitation than hail?
Prashar lifts his brow.
No, I suppose that is the stupidest.
Jahangir.
Yeah.
We're friends.
What?
Associates.
Yeah.
We have things in common.
Yeah.
We share stuff. And panoramic x-ray machine, for example.
Yeah.
We're close.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Not close, but... Well, that's not the point, is it?
He follows Prashar.
Listen. I met a woman. Kind of woman who makes you want to go back in time to before you met her. Whatever the hell life was like then, it's not as bad as the hell now. Knowing she's out there and you can't have her.
Prashar looks at him sympathetically.
What I'm trying to say is, could you write me a prescription for Percocet?
What?
Well, I can't prescribe myself, can I? Legally. Just want to sleep and pretend she never happened. Or Darvon. Or Vicodin. Just like a 30 count or 60 if you don't want me to keep bothering you. And I'll be out of your hair. I'm not even going to ask for morphine.
Pincus eyes his colleague expectantly. Prashar nods slightly.
Come with me.
Pincus follows him into an exam room. Prashar gestures at a dental chair.
What are we doing?
Just sit down.
No.
Sit down.
Why?
Just sit down.
Pincus sits and Prashar pulls up a seat beside him. Prashar stops Pincus from getting up.
Oh, look, never mind.
This is important. Look.
On the ceiling, a poster of a kitten gripping a rope bears the words, "Hang in there, baby."
Brilliant.
The other one.
A poster of Einstein reads, "Only a life lived for others is worth living."
Yep. As mass-produced poster slogans go, that's good.
Dr. Pincus, at some point in your life, you're going to have to stop and ask yourself the ultimate question. This business of being such a fucking prick. What is it really getting me?
Prashar gives his colleague an earnest look. Pincus gazes down with a thoughtful expression and nods. Later, he walks down the office hallway. Stopping by the reception desk, Pincus spots the ghosts still sitting in the waiting room. Marjorie looks up at the dentist. Pincus enters. And we view the ghosts from his perspective. The nurse eyes him pleadingly, while the elderly couple faintly smiles beside her. Two of the construction workers share a look as Pincus sits in an empty chair by Marjorie. He turns to the old woman.
You said something about a letter.
On the steps of a brownstone, Pincus stands before a woman holding a baby on her hip. As she reads a letter, Marjorie stands by a streetlight on the sidewalk and watches. A close view by the woman's feet shows a corner of torn-up carpet. The woman cries, and Marjorie smiles. The streetlight glows brightly. Pincus turns toward it. He watches Marjorie fade and disappear in the glow. At a busy construction site, Pincus talks to a crane operator. The construction worker ghosts watch. Pincus points under the carrier. The operator looks suspicious but crawls underneath the construction vehicle. Nearby, sparks fly as a worker cuts through metal with a saw. The sparks glow brighter. Pincus watches the construction worker ghosts, who wear peaceful expressions as they fade and vanish. The crane operator emerges from under the carrier. Gripping a pole, he turns to Pincus. His chin quivers as he struggles to suppress tears. Outside a motorcycle repair shop, a young woman unboxes a helmet. The biker ghost watches across the street, sitting on a motorcycle. Standing with Pincus, the young woman smiles at the helmet.
You should try it on.
The woman nods and puts it on. The headlights on nearby motorcycles glow brightly. The biker ghost smiles, fades, and disappears. A close view shows Pincus finding a stuffed squirrel underneath a car seat. In a park, a boy runs to the brunette patient, who sits on a bench.
Mom! Look what I found!
What? Where did you find this? Where did it come from?
It fell out of his backpack.
Thank you.
Pincus smiles at her, then turns to leave.
Dr. Pincus?
He turns back to her. She smiles and waves at him.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I didn't...
Pincus steps next to the blue-eyed man, who contentedly watches.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I never realized.
The blue-eyed ghost smiles. The woman cries and kisses her son on the head. A bright glare reflects off the side of a passing truck. The light shines on the blue-eyed ghost, who fades away. Pincus turns and leaves. Nighttime. In the apartment lobby, Gwen enters in a formal dress. Adjusting an earring, she walks to a mirror and sets down her purse and coat. Gwen fixes her other earring. Grabbing lipstick from her purse, she briefly lifts it to her mouth. Gwen lowers her hand, staring at her reflection as she loses her composure. She closes the tube of lipstick, bites her lip, and stifles tears. As Frank watches behind her, Gwen leaves. Staring off with a frown, the ghost wears a pensive look. On a sidewalk, Pincus walks with a determined expression. Wearing a coat over his work smock, he travels at a quick pace, then breaks into a jog. Outside the museum, Pincus runs up the front steps past people in long black coats. He walks through rooms containing exhibits of stone artifacts and sculptures. Pincus passes a glass case holding an Egyptian sarcophagus. He enters another exhibit space, where people in formal clothing mingle with one another and check in at a table. Pincus checks his coat at the front of the room. With his work smock now exposed, he appears out of place at the black tie event. The dentist steps away from the coat check, and a well-dressed couple glances at him as they walk by. Pincus scans the room. Pincus runs past a reflecting pool. Gwen stands at a podium in front of a towering stone structure. Audience members applaud and disperse, and Pincus runs to Gwen.
Gwen!
He stops by a case holding King Pepe's mummy.
What are you doing here?
I've got to talk to you. I've figured it out.
Please leave me alone.
It's all rubbish. What they tell us in ghost stories, I think they've got it completely wrong.
Ghost stories, this... Could you not do this here tonight?
Look at Pepe, okay? They buried him with everything a dead guy doesn't need. Household pets, money. They even put his penis in a big jar. Why would they do that?
But you saw that penis. It wouldn't have fit in a little jar.
They both look confused.
No, not why do they put it in a big... Why did they put it in a jar at all? What?
What?
Why would they go to all that trouble for someone they'll never see again?
Because they love him and they want to make sure he'll be okay.
Because if they know he's okay...
Just they can let him go. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. I appreciate it.
Exactly. They can let him go. Frank's haunting you, Gwen. Let him go.
If he's haunting me, then shouldn't he let me go?
No, he can't. It's not him. It's you. All this stuff about ghosts having unfinished business. It's us that are unfinished. Let Frank go. Let the pervert decay in peace.
Please, stop following me.
Gwen walks away. On the other side of the pool, Pincus approaches her.
Yes, it's nice to see you both.
That came out all wrong.
I don't care how you knew all that stuff about Frank, okay? I don't care.
I told you.
Maybe you guys were a couple of buddies. How about that?
No, no, no.
Regular guys while he was alive, and you went out drinking and went to strip clubs and talked about your girlfriends and laughed at your wives.
I swear.
Who
was the matter with me? Why didn't he love me?
He did love you. I still do.
He did love you.
They walk to a doorway where Frank stands.
Then why wasn't I enough?
Pincus meets her questioning stare. Gwen walks away. Pincus glares at Frank.
Huh. You've got nothing to say to that, have you?
What?
Useless.
Please. What do you think I'm gonna do, change?
Well,
in all your life, have you ever actually known anybody who's changed at all, ever?
Can you make an effort just for a few seconds?
I am who I am.
I suppose you're talking to him right now? Is that what you want me to believe?
What do you want to tell him? What do you want to say?
I want an answer. I want to know why I wasn't enough for him.
It wasn't you that wasn't enough. It wasn't you that wasn't enough. I don't know why I did the shit that I did.
And he doesn't know why he did the things he did.
And you don't get any smarter just because you're dead.
You don't get smarter after you die.
But I did see one thing, how much I hurt you.
But he's seen how much he hurt you, and...
Tears well in Gwen's eyes. Frank wears a remorseful stare.
I'm so sorry, honey.
Gwen looks expectantly at Pincus.
What? What'd he say?
He said he's sorry.
That's it? He's sorry?
Well, it was the way he said it.
Oh, he's sorry. He's sorry.
I'm heartfelt. Yeah. Heartfelt.
Good guess. I gotta go pack.
No, you should have heard it. I'm really not doing it justice.
Pincus follows her out to the street, holding his coat.
Why should I talk to you? You couldn't even get his dream right.
No, because he told me the wrong dream to try and make me look bad. He stitched me up.
Then what's the right one?
Well, he's not here right now, is he? I can't check with him.
That's convenient.
No, it's not convenient. It's really inconvenient. Listen, I'm not a liar, okay? I've been a lot of things. I've been cold, selfish, self-centered, but I'm not a liar, and I'm not lying now. Gwen, I've lived more in the last few days that I've spent with you since I died than I ever lived before I died, back when I was living, the first time. Right, do you know what I mean?
No.
Right. I'm born, and then...
A bus hits Pincus. Gwen hurries after him. Pincus's coat floats to the ground. As bystanders run toward the accident, Pincus walks backwards into view. A man runs through him and sneezes. Gwen and a group of people stand over Pincus's body. Frank approaches Pincus's ghost.
Ow. That is a real shame. You were really getting somewhere with it, too.
What's happening?
Oh, you ate it, pal. Goddamn MTA strikes again. These drivers are being some menace, right?
No, I'm not dead.
Richard arrives wearing a tux and holding a bouquet.
I'm sorry, kiddo.
Frank hugs Pincus.
Aw, come here, you. Kind of nice.
I was just getting started. Everything else, every minute up to now, has just been a waste of time, just a warm up.
Yeah.
They watch Gwen.
This is the worst part.
Somebody do.
Watching her cry.
Do something.
Knowing she needs somebody to comfort her and knowing you can't be you.
Richard kneels by the body.
Has anyone called 911?
Wait a minute. You gotta be kidding me.
We'll call them.
Wait a minute.
Space. Give me space.
Richard begins chest compressions.
He's doing CPR. He knows CPR.
Of course he knows CPR.
You need space. You need space.
He's probably gonna cut open your chest and massage your heart back to life with his bare hands.
Oh, Lord. Spare this man.
Okay, I really can't take this guy anymore. Honestly, really, I can't.
He begins mouth to mouth.
Come on!
Gwen sobs as she watches Richard perform CPR. Frank fixes his gaze on Gwen. The ghost wears a thoughtful expression. Frank continues watching his crying widow. His eyes shift as he thinks.
Hey, Pincus, there's something I should tell you. Might come in handy if you make it back.
You're gonna help me? Why?
Those tears, she's crying.
He nods towards Gwen. She wears an anguished expression.
Those are for you now.
Nearby, streetlights begin to glow brightly. Frank looks up and smiles.
Listen up. I think my ride's here.
The streetlights glow brighter until a white light engulfs our view. The light gives way to a fast-motion view of the city skyline surrounding Central Park. Night turns to day, and clouds move over the city. The sun sets, and lights blink on in the high-rise buildings. The sun rises once more. In a hospital bed, Pincus stirs. He spots the tan surgeon and the imposing man wearing jovial smiles.
Dr. Pincus, always good to see you.
What happened?
You crossed the street when it said don't walk.
Not much of a lawsuit, I'm afraid.
Pincus shifts his eyes.
Gwen, was there a woman here?
It's possible, but if she was unable to provide proof of kinship, security would have escorted her off the premises.
Nice work, guys.
The surgeon casually touches her face. She looks expectantly at Pincus.
You went darker.
I went darker, yes.
Looks good. Makes your eyes pop.
He falls asleep. In an exam room, a banner hanging above balloons reads, "Welcome back, Dr. P." Pincus tends to a patient.
Okay, Mr. Goldman. 6 months. Remember, only floss the ones you want to keep.
Pincus laughs as Goldman leaves.
Hi.
Pincus waves. Standing in the hall, Prashar winks and gives a thumbs up. He walks off. As Pincus examines his tray of dental tools, Gwen steps into the doorway.
I didn't know you were back.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought you were in Egypt.
Oh, I felt like sticking around. You're okay?
Yeah. And the circumstances.
You know, I tried visiting you at the hospital, but they
wouldn't... Yeah, they run a tight ship over there, cooperative institutional health bastards.
Pincus grins.
You okay?
I have bad molar contact.
Oh. Sit down. I was wondering if you had that seen too.
And I actually made the appointment with Dr. Prashar.
Oh, no, of course.
Well, I didn't know...
He's a lovely man. And he's a better dentist than me, but don't tell him I said so.
Pincus smiles at Gwen, who nods.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you're looking well.
And you.
He points and smiles again. Gwen turns to leave.
He's 8 years old.
Sorry, what?
Frank. In his dream, the real one. And he's walking in the woods with his dad. He's holding hands, but then suddenly his dad's not there. He tries to find his way back the way he came, but he keeps ending up back where he started, and that's his nightmare. That he's lost, and he can't find his way home.
That's it. Do you still see him?
He shakes his head.
He found his way home.
That's good.
Pincus gives a faint smile. With glistening eyes, Gwen breaks eye contact. She bites her lip and walks down the hall, stepping out of view. Pincus watches her go. Wearing a sad expression, Pincus lets his gaze linger on the empty hallway. He drops his stare. Gwen walks back to the exam room, leaning against the doorframe again. Pincus looks up in surprise. Gwen points to her jaw.
It hurts when I smile.
Pincus smiles softly.
I can fix that for you.
Gwen gazes at the dentist and smiles. Fade to black.
I hate to see you cry, lying there in that position.
Remaining opening credits. Ricky Gervais. Taya Leone, Greg Kinnear, Billy Campbell, Kristen Wiig, Dana Ivey, Asif Manvi, Alan Ruck, Betty Gilpin, Brian Darcy James, Brian Tarantino, casting by John Papsidera, CSA, and Pat McCorkle, CSA, music by Jeff Zanelli, music supervisor Kathy Nelson, costume designer Sarah Edwards, edited by Sam Sieg, production designer Howard Cummings, director of photography Fred Murphy, ASC, executive producers Roger Birnbaum, Gary Barber, executive producer Ezra Swerdlo, produced by Gavin Pallone, written by David Kep and John Camps, directed by David Kep. End credits roll.
Defend the silver lining. Pain throws your heart to the ground. Love ties the whole thing around. No, it won't all go the way it should, but I know the heart of life is good. Thank you. Fear is a friend who's misunderstood. But I know the heart of life is good. I know it's good.
Copyright 2008 DreamWorks LLC and Spyglass Entertainment Funding LLC. All rights reserved. DreamWorks LLC and Spyglass Entertainment Funding LLC are the authors and creators of this motion picture. For purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto, and for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by DreamWorks, Paramount Distribution.